The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. It's me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. The Athens of South America, so named for its well-educated citizenry. Well, yes, this episode 210, we're going to be talking to some of those well-educated citizens. That's right. This is 210, and we've got the Bogota writers here. So we've got them here with Peter Dale, Juan Manuel Rodriguez, and Carolina Pereira, and they've just released a book. Those of you who've been here with us, listening to Columbia Calling since the very beginning, several years ago, you'll know that we had the Bogota writers on the show a couple of years back, and we talked about their first book, and we talked about them as a group and so on. But we've got them back on because, well, it's timely as well. But not content with just one book, Authors from 2013, 2014. They're now here with Voices of Bogota, a short story collection, and it's by each of the Bogota writers. And it's very nicely bound, very nice artwork, I have to say. So congratulations to you guys, and welcome on Columbia Calling.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome. So let's talk about this. The Bogota writers is a group of, what, you're six, seven, or
eight?
Yeah. Eight people, sorry. You've got eight permanent, let's say, members of this group, and you meet weekly.
Every 2 weeks.
So it gives you a little bit of time to prepare your own stories, and each of you sort of do a critique of the stories, and you have a guest invitee who comes in as well and gives some feedback, because I was once there, but I arrived so late that I could hardly give any feedback. But anyway, so working together, I suppose this study, let's say, that you get together every bi-weekly, and then you write these stories. You're like, well, we're not content with only writing these stories. It's now time for our second book. So how did you decide? How long a process is it to decide to make a book? Who wants to start? Peter?
We were all excited with the first one. I mean, it was just the first attempt. It wasn't perfect, but we were really happy with the results. So we thought, well, we're not going to stop there. Now, the process had a few hiccups on the way, but we were interested in the idea. We were all bound by the idea of, yes, we all want to publish another book. We came across the idea of Bogota as inspiration, and I think that's what really got the thing going, because there were many, many different options of what we're going to do. Are we going to have a common theme or not? And Bogota came up as the idea, and everyone seemed to be motivated by it. We're all residents here. Some of us are obviously expats, some Colombians, but we all have that in common. And where you live, especially a capital city, has a big impact on your life.
Of course.
And yeah, it could be an inspiration in all ways, positive ways, negative ways, because it affects your life sometimes negatively or positive. So that was the starting point.
That was the starting point of the book.
And we didn't want this book to be like the first one, that it was kind of a mixtape, like a bunch of stories all together. But like Peter said, we want to have a common thread that unites the whole stories and give it like a more powerful look to the book.
Well, I think it's important, isn't it? You've taken Bogota as the central theme, and as you say, inspiration. It can also be a negative theme. Bogota is much to some people, less to others. Yesterday, Bogota almost broke me. But today, I'm feeling a bit more upbeat about Bogota. Carolina, you are a Bogotana.
Yes.
You are a Bogotana. So, I mean, writing a book about your home city has to be of some sort of importance, really. I mean, you must feel quite emotional about this kind of thing.
Yes, definitely. I think, like most Bogotanos, we have a love-hate relationship with the city, you know. There are good things, for example, a group like Bogota Writers, difficult to have something like this in I'm not going to say in all other cities of Colombia, but it requires a certain size and type of city to have a group like this.
Mm-hmm.
All the cultural activities or the educational opportunities, job opportunities, that attract a lot of people to this city, but also the negative things, which, I mean, there is a long list of that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the good thing about writing is that you in many cases, you write about problems and about bad things. You
mm-hmm.
know, that is, I mean, if everything is good and nice, probably there is not that much of a story there. So, you know, conflict is the source of, the inspiration for writers. So Bogota has a lot of that.
I like that what you said there. You know, this conflict being the source of an inspiration. And if there weren't, I guess we'd all be living in Canada. or Sweden or somewhere like that.
Dying slowly.
You're dying slowly and boring. And this is interesting. It's something I pick up on. Again, a complete anecdote out of left field here. I recall a very good friend of mine and his parents had lived in Saudi Arabia and Lebanon for many, many years and then retired to Canada. And they just evaporated there. I mean, I think that's the best way. And this is not directed at my Canadian friends or Canadian family, but it's true. They'd lived through so much chaos and they lived through so much ruckus in life that the cues and the lines and people being so polite and people being so helpful, really, it jarred with what they were used to, how they had grown up. And then another friend here from Bogota went up to Clemson University recently while there weren't demonstrations. And because it's just a lovely little town, you know, like a suburban university town. And she was dying, she said, for some of the contamination of Bogota. I mean, how is it something that we genuinely miss? But I think it is. And I know I'm going to London, and it's, of course, London's chaotic. It's my home city. I'm going for December for a month. Within a week, I want to come back. That's what Bogota does to you. It's what Bogota, within a week, I want to come back and start fighting with my neighbors again, because otherwise I'll miss it. But let's talk about this a bit more. I mean, the Bogota writers, are you half-half Colombians and foreigners, or is it...
There's a moving group, because there are eight in the book, some of whom are not in the group anymore because mm-hmm. they've left the country.
Sure.
So, yeah, we've happens. Got four or five
yeah.
core people stay, then other people come and go, but it's more or less half and half, isn't it?
Usually, yes.
Uh-huh. And I love the fact that these are either Colombians who want to write in English. I mean, Spanish is a very expressive language, of course, in mm-hmm. which to write. Other writers' groups in Spanish, I don't know. I haven't even looked. Anyone know about, you know, friendly writers' groups? Because yours is a friendly writers' group. Yeah, you don't launch into one another. You've got a respect between each of you, so you're not saying, I hate this. You shouldn't write this. You shouldn't submit this. You are much more delicate and sensitive to one another, I think, in this group. So, but would a Spanish group be different? I don't know.
Well, I understand that there are like workshops where people write stories and they get also feedback. But it is a different type of dynamic there, you know, because usually you have a teacher, facilitator of the workshop. And usually it is a specific period of time and then it's over.
Yeah.
So that's what I understand for Spanish people who write in Spanish. I don't know about any other groups here like that.
Well, let's address the book then. We've got it. I've got it here. Very, again, like I said, very nice, very elegant book. Very nicely put together. Very, I like the artwork. You know, sort of. I don't know if that's cold pads here on the front, a sort of taller building. Could be. That's my interpretation.
Very tall.
Very tall building, the Col Patria building. Well, that's Monserrate. I can figure that one out on the back.
You're going to have Monserrate.
This is true. We, you know, it's always looking
like
down
Eiffel
over
Tower
you.
Like Eiffel Tower in Paris. You know,
Big Ben. It's like, so let's talk about your stories. Let's talk about how you decided. I'm sure that various of you wrote several stories and then had to discard them before. How did the final stories make, you know, how did they make the cut? For example, tell me about a story that maybe Juan Manuel you didn't submit. Or did you get everything past the censors?
No. Like my two stories, I have like probably like 10 versions for each story.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did is that when we came with the idea of writing about Bogota, we said, okay, all the stories that we're going to present in the following meetings are going to be only about Bogota.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent like a year or something writing just about Bogota. And when we feel that we have the right amount of stories about Bogota, we said, okay, now we're going to decide which stories are going to be in the book. And also because we were tired of writing about Bogota. We wanted to write about other things, but there's always no, you have to write about Bogota. So that's how we put the book together. So we present, like, we choose the stories, and each one of us voted for the best stories of all the authors.
Oh, so it was a universal voting.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yeah. And
I mean, but it was some discussion. Yeah. I mean, with some borderline, you know, some people said, well, yeah, you've got more votes, but I really think it should be the other one. So there was an animated discussion.
It's never so animated. Easy, you know, because some people, like, they wanted to publish a specific story, and then the group said, no, we don't like that too much, you know, we prefer this other one, you know, and then there was some negotiation, you know.
Yeah, often the late people get in love with the latest one, because there's no distance, and that's where it helps to have the other people commenting, because they're not so in love with your story, so they can be more honest. So we're all very polite, but there is constructive criticism as well. So that's one of the things what we wanted to put in the book, to make sure that it's not just straight from the author's pen, that there is other people's criticism coming in to improve the story. Cut out some of the rubbish, you know.
I like the idea of constructive criticism. We say it a lot. Does that mean you start the phrase with all due respect, and you know that an insult or something negative is coming?
What it goes is like, I love your story, but.
It's the truth, isn't it? It's one of those things. And it's going to hurt, but then that's the whole process. But of course, you know, you all know one another so well that you know it's not personal. It's about the writing. But then, of course, the writing is personal. So, you know, it comes around, doesn't it? I am interested in that fact you said when the author says, or you get the most votes for a story, and someone else sits up and says, but I don't think that's your best. That's got to be a tough negotiation. I'm sure that there were several stories that went through weeks of debate and back and forwards emails when you can, you know, because you're all at work. I mean, so it's that's got to be really interesting and quite trying at the end. I mean, you know, you've got to be careful that you don't get some sort of resentment between the group. That's the truth. Now, I just flicked through there, Juan Manuel, and you've got a reference to Cannibal Corpse, one of the most heavy metal, death metal groups ever. But I've noticed it's a story about death, because of course you're talking about Flores and the flowers and so on. Can you tell us a little bit more about the story then? And just tell us, don't give it away, because we want people to go out and buy the book.
No spoilers.
Okay. The reference that you talk about, it was to give a character trait to the principal character of the story, which is a guy called Patricio, which is kind of strange. I like to write about those strange characters, so that's why he likes that kind of music and a lot of other things that you have to read the story to know what are those things. And that story is Bittersweet Mills, and it's about how sometimes love can turn into an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Very good. We're going to develop this a bit more about the stories, because we've got two other authors. We've got three authors with us, but two other authors here with us to talk about it. And I'm picking up on something that the only time that I've attended the Bogota Writers, I was much taken by Francisco Becerra's desire for gore. And I'm flicking through here, and I've already seen a reference to a scalpel, a zombie, and the Divino Nino. So I'm going to take that up with him on Twitter, I think. But we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back, and we'll talk further with the other two authors here, Peter Dell and Carolina Pereira, talking about their stories. And, of course, Juan Manuel will of course, interject and everything. But we're talking to the Bogota Writers, which is a very small group here, but have been around for several years now.
Six years.
I mean, that's a long time for anyone to cope with. But 6 years, and we're talking with them, and the website's www.bogotawriters.com, I think.
Facebook. We have a Facebook page.
Okay, Facebook page. You did have a website once,
yeah, but we had some problems with the domain.
They're difficult about it. Okay, so it's just look up the Facebook page if you're here for a long period of time, I guess, and maybe you're interested. I'm sure that they're open to.
Yeah, we're excited. We just got some new blood into the group.
Blood. We talk about scalpels.
But we've probably got one or two places.
Okay.
So if anyone is living in Bogota, would be interested in coming along, we'd be very happy to have you. We normally have the people come along as guests initially, mm-hmm. and it's a question of mutual interest. If the guest likes us and we like the guest, then usually things work out.
Perfect. So let's take a short break on this episode 210 of Columbia Calling, and we'll be right back and talking further about the Voices of Bogota book by the Bogota Writers. Thank you for listening. And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here on episode 210 of the Bogota Writers interview. But we're talking about their book, Voices of Bogota, a short story collection. We'll shortly mention where you can get your hands on a copy of these short stories written by the Bogota Writers. But at the moment, we're discussing with three of the writers a little bit about how they came to be, their stories, the inspiration that is Bogota. And well, it's a great looking book, and I will admit to my listeners, I've only read several of the stories, not all of them. I was mentioning in the last section that we were talking about Francisco Becerra, who seems to have some sort of unhealthy obsession with zombies and scalpels and so on. But that's him. He likes his horror, I think. I get the. And I was going to ask.
He's a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft, you know. So.
Is that the Game of Thrones type thing? Because I don't know.
He's a horror writer.
Okay.
He's really into fantasy.
Okay.
So he's into.
Fair enough, then. And don't worry, Agent.
Something that we like about the group is that there are all kinds of interests. Mm-hmm. Some people write more about social. Mm-hmm. Issues like Clara Reyes.
Yeah, she's got the AUC in here and so on. I mean, the paramilitaries and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
She's interested in those subjects. Others, in my case, I have some affinity to Francisco, because we're both kind of like fantasy, and he's into the gore, and the gore and horror and genres and more. Less of that, but so it is interesting because there are all kinds of styles.
Well, that keeps it exciting.
Yes,
it's not all the same people doing all the same things. I mean, otherwise it wouldn't have lasted 6 years. Peter, how did you get your story to be the opening story? Let's start with that, because that's always a big deal. I know that must have come up as a big, big issue for a while. How do we open with Peter's Shall I Be Mother? I mean, did you just shout everyone down?
Be nice to everyone. Be very diplomatic.
Very diplomatic.
No, well, they're all to do with Bogota. That story came about when I arrived in Bogota in the 90s.
Mm.
So it's a strange time because I was coming and everyone was leaving.
Mm.
So it's like, well, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, what I come and there's a huge drain of talent of people fleeing Bogota. So that's the starting point of the story. Mm. People who've left Bogota in the 90s and many of coming back. I mean, that's one of the positive things about Bogota recently, that all these people are now coming back to, you know, reclaim their city, their country. But they've got a lot of baggage they come with. You know, they've lived through different things. So, and as a foreigner, the whole idea of people moving from one city or country to another and what they live through, go through. So I was projecting some of what I've lived through, but coming from the UK to Bogota with a different kind of character, someone who left Bogota, goes to the States, comes back to Bogota. But the things in common, some of the things you think of is you feel guilty because you've left the sinking ship. Well, that could have been the state of Bogota in the 1990s. So you go back and people think, oh, you left, didn't you? You thought you weren't good enough for you. There's lots of interesting emotions coming from both the people who go away and come back and the people who stayed here and see these people coming back. You know, do they embrace them with open arms? Or do they say, oh, yeah, you thought you were better and you're earning lots of money, but now you're ready to come back, are you? You know, there's it's not always the welcome. But at the same time, family's a family, so you do, the prodigal son comes back and you don't reject them.
That's very interesting, and it touches on topics and themes about which I absolutely am fascinated, and that's the Bogotana reclaiming his city. And I think it's partially happening now, and of course the return of Colombians to their home after so many years of exile due to obvious reasons, which is for another show. You know, when you see the billboards around the bus stations, you know, Soy de Santander, pero yo amo Bogotá. It's part of the first step, isn't it? I don't know about Juan Manuel or Carolina, if their parents are from other parts of Colombia or something, but I have so many friends here in Bogotá. I said, no, but my parents are from Norte Santander. But you're from Bogota. Sí, pero mis papás son de norte. No, but you are Bogotano. You are, and we had this issue in London. We've had this issue in, you know, I my mother was from Islington, my father was Canadian, and I'm pretty much the only amongst my friends from London, born and raised. But that's what a capital city is, and that's part of that identity here, I think. And you know, and this is getting stronger with this return that you're talking about, the wake and so on. And that's why I thought it very interesting. I'm going to give you some high praise, because I felt that it was reminiscent to me, not an imitation, but reminiscent to me, not of something written by of Juan Gabriel Vázquez. That's that kind of thing. There's a almost a lethargy to it, but it's fresh. You know what I mean? That's not a criticism. I liked it because that's what it expressed to me. So that's very cool. And in that reclaiming, the apropiarse to the city is so important. And so that's why I felt it came to the front, because for me, that's one of the most important debates right now. What does it mean to be a Bogotano? What does it mean as well to be a Colombian in this moment in time, 2017, when we come forward to more issues of probably like Clara Reyes is writing, with the issues of yesteryear, which are probably going to manifest themselves more so next year in the election. So very interesting indeed to deal with that. And so congratulations on that story, which was very atmospheric and very, very interesting indeed. The descriptions that come through the book, the descriptions that seem to be general, are always about, there's a lot of waiting that goes on, and it's a lot of traffic that's mentioned in the book. Seems to be a general theme for everyone. I think, you know, Carolina's is like, yeah, she, you know, she killed time on herself phone. I get that we're always on our cell phones. That's any city in the world. We're always playing around and then late for meetings, like me today and everyone else. But that's, again, part of a city. So maybe Carolina, talk to us a little bit about the stories that you chose, or they chose for you, that got into this story. How did it come about that you wanted those stories? And we'll find the titles. Well, you can tell me the titles.
Well, actually, each of us, I don't know if it's been mentioned already, but each of us published two stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mine are, let's say, special. All are special.
Oh, yes.
So mine are special for two reasons. Yeah. One is because they are long.
I've noticed.
So I tend to write long, short stories.
Long, short stories.
And there may be a novelist somewhere in me. And also because they are both related. Mm-hmm. So they are actually, let's say, two points of view, mm-hmm. the same, about the same thing. Mm-hmm. In that regard,
You're writing about my old barrio, Lourdes, mm-hmm. and the tattoo parlors, and the people with the piercings in their faces and stuff. It's a very descriptive area of town.
yes, they are. I took something that is also very special about this city. Well, very urban, which is the graffitis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is the source of inspiration for my story, graffitis and tattoos. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The first story is more about the graffiti,
yeah.
and the second one is more a little bit more about the tattoo and how they are both connected. I try to take two things that identify that are very urban, which are both of those.
Both those themes, and of course, you know, Bogota is known globally as being, you know, one of the world's great, mm-hmm. I don't know about tattoos, but one of the world's great graffiti art canvases. I'm continually asked to write pieces about graffiti. And while I love graffiti and love photographing it, how much more can I say? And how much more...
for radio, isn't it?
Yeah, how much more can I say? Okay, so you know, DJ Lou, Toxic Omano, Ere, and all of these others who are great, and I've met, you know, there are some guys, but how much more? But it does display the politics of what's going on at the time too, and that's one of the things, very illustrative. And so Juan Manuel, let's talk a little bit about your second story, The Time Tracker's Apprentice. The Time Tracker's Apprentice. Walking back home from an interview in an Unicentro store. Well, first of all, Unicentro is hell on earth for me. So, you know, start there. So, I look at that and I don't want to look any further.
Okay. I believe the story was born sometime when I was at Unicentro, mm-hmm. right at the 15 in front. And I saw these guys that took times between buses.
Oh yeah, the guys. I know the guys.
That are called calibradores.
The ones who stand in the road.
Yeah. Like in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And they talk to the bus drivers. And what I know is that they kind of regulate the time between buses. So if the one that just passed making the same route is just too close to the one that is behind, this guy tell the bus driver to, hey, go slow, go slow down because the other one is just right ahead of you or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty, like a really common character in the city.
Yeah. And did you talk to any of these calibradores?
Interview one of the calibradores, and he gave me the spreadsheet where they take notes of
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He gave it to you?
Yeah, yeah.
For free?
He said,
he didn't ask for bakshish, tip.
She said, no, look, take this. And you need it. No, I just, that's the one I just written, so you can take it.
It's incredible. So they just gave you that?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before. I love this.
And he told me how they get paid with bus drivers, tip them with coins or sometime bills if they... want to give them more. And it, for me, if we were going to write a book about the stories about Bogota, we needed typical things that happen in the city. And those guys are really a common character that is really a Bogotano character. So I wanted to write a story about that. And I include the whole time issue that is another theme that is on my mind frequently.
I mean, one of the things that we're doing in a sense is, I don't know if it's taking a photograph or taking a recording if it's voices of Bogota, of Bogota now.
Yeah.
And some things like the time trackers, I mean, there isn't even a word for it in English. It's an invented word because we had a debate on what we were calling
the time trackers apprentice. Yeah.
So in 5 years' time, that might not exist.
Yeah.
Because the SITP system comes in fully and these guys might not be there. But they're there at the moment. So we're publishing a book now, which is Bogota Now, and some things are in the past as well, but it's a kind of record as well.
I realize that Monica Ramirez works for the Alcaldía, and she would boldly claim that the SITP bus system will be in place in a few years' time. I have my doubts. So I think the Calibradores might still be there in some way, shape, or form. But I like it because it is, like you say, it's a still of a moment. And you're right. And that's it. And it is fascinating. And then, so how long could you talk to this lady? Well, this man, this lady, this gent. Who was it, a man or a woman?
It was a man.
Okay.
I haven't seen ladies doing that work. And it was a man. And now we talked like really quick. It was like probably 5 minutes or something like
Excellent.
That because he was like
he was working
and was just like that.
And did you get I would like to know what the rate of deaths amongst these guys is, not only from pollution but from being hit by other buses or something.
I don't have statistics about that, but I believe it's really dangerous because they step just right in the middle of the street.
They're standing there you know, and sometimes you don't see them. I mean, sometimes they're typically Bogotano in short, you know. It's hard. That's a fascinating story too. I will be sure to check that one out. But I like your point, Peter, about it being a still. And so, will there be a second book then to take another? looking at me like no. Will there be a second book though to let's take another photograph, or you know, you'll be able to look at this book and then look at the new one and say, God, look at how much has changed. Perhaps you wouldn't have noticed visually, but in the text, amongst the words, you'll notice because you're not making reference to the Calibrador. Maybe the flower place in Flores is not selling anymore. They're all online. You know, these things will all change. Maybe there'll be something else instead of our phones. There won't be any traffic because we'll have an underground metro. That was there for Monica as well. Would you think about it in a few years' time? Another book? Would you?
I think the next, we want to move on to something different. We're talking about different themes for the next book, but as a source of material, I mean, it's endless. I mean, there's no doubt you could do it. I mean, you could do it today. You could do it in 2 years, 5 years. So, I mean, personally, I wouldn't have a problem in going back to it as a group. I think, we should be exploring doing something else in the meantime.
But I like that you've taken one theme. You know, there's Bogota. I like that. And, you know, that's not a criticism of the last book, but it jumped around. And like you said, the mixtape, very interesting, very enjoyable stories. But the continuity, it was like you had to read one and then, okay, and now I'll put it down and read another one later. This one you can sit and read from one story into the next because of the continuity of it. Like you say, Bogota would give you enough for volumes and volumes and volumes. That could be your thing, your grand opus is the long works of Bogota. You know, you could be what would you call it, ensayos periodísticos of the city and stuff. It'd be very exciting. So we've got this book. Where can we get hold of Voices of Bogota? Here we go.
Physically in Bogota.
Yeah,
there's a bookshop called, or a bookstore called Bookworm, which is based in the Café Doméstica, which is Carrera 6 with 5635. Carrera 6, number 5635.
So close to La Castaña, when you're buying your empanadas, just round the corner, you can get the book. Yeah?
And so that's physically, it's available there in Bogotá, and it's available on Amazon.
Amazon as well, so you can find it on Amazon easily. You just put in Bogota Writers or Voices of Bogota, it's going to come up. And how's it been selling so far?
Oh, this is new. As of this recording, It's just being set up on Amazon.
Okay,
so we haven't got the first sales yet.
But you've had several events. I mean, you've been present at several events. You had the launch at a very nice place, which I missed, the Grau, a very nice place. And you were at the
Movable
Fiesta before that. And I know you sold because I saw with my very own eyes. And you've got a review in the Bogota Post.
Yeah.
So it's only going to go. It's just going to grow. Soon you're going to be lauded.
No, we're excited because we know there's a lot of people in Bogota, both expats and locals, who like reading in English.
Yes, definitely.
And to have, and the content, and we come back to the content again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all about where I'm living.
Right.
So it has a lot of interest for people who are visiting or who are living here because it's talking about their city.
Definitely. And where's the review? Let's find the review. Hang on. Have you read the review in the Bogota Post?
Yes.
Is it very good? Is it very...
It's nice. It's a nice write-up.
It's a nice write-up. So you're happy.
Yeah.
This is the important thing. And finally, the most important thing, how much does it cost?
Yeah. We're selling it at 40,000.
40,000. Okay.
But online, how much does it cost?
Online, it's going to be $4.99.
So, honestly, for less than a price of a coffee in a Starbucks, you can get some good writing by indie writers. I mean, that's what we need to be supporting, don't we? We need to be supporting the people who are doing it for themselves out there, pushing, you know, good projects. You know, they're not looking for handouts. They're looking for you to come and support writing. That's what I like about this. Well, I think we've covered...
Yeah,
Voices of Bogota. Has anyone got anything they would like to add that we've forgotten?
Yeah, we would like to invite the Bogota citizens. We're going to give a talk at the bookshop Casa Tomada,
mm-hmm.
that is at the Palermo neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
next Wednesday 29 at 6 p.m. We will be there talking about the book and about its writing process and about literature.
And the book will also be on sale there.
Yeah, so. Definitely. So come to it, 6 p.m., Casa Tomada, Wednesday 29th of November. And all the authors will be there? All of you?
We'll be there, three of us.
So you'll get to put faces to the names. Oh,
the thing is, we've lost several because they are not living in Bogota anymore. So one is in La Guajira, another one is in, and two others are in England.
Yeah.
So
you say lost, it sounds like they died. It's like we've lost them to malaria. You know, look, they've moved abroad.
It's great when they come.
It's a loss.
Yeah, of course.
It's a big loss. But we have new members, and again, like Peter was saying, we expect to have some new project coming up.
Oh, of course you will.
Before we also lose.
You won't lose anyone. I won't lose anyone more. I think I don't know who the remaining people are, but I'm pretty permanent, a lot of you now, the guys who are there. You know, it's like lifers in Bogota. It's like, it's not a sentence, it's a desire. And but so let me take this moment and say thank you to Carolina, to Juan Manuel, and to Peter for coming here, taking the time out of their day to come here and talk to us about their new book, Voices of Bogota, a short story collection. It is very interesting. There is an excellent cross-section of image and ambience of Bogota taken from very different points of view. And I think that's what is one of the very, quite attractive things of this new short story collection that they've brought out. So get your hands on a copy on Amazon or in the, what was it called again? The
Domestica
shop, and or on Wednesday 29th of November, 6 p.m. in the Casa Tomada in Palermo, which is a very cool bookstore indeed. So very, very, that's high praise that they've invited you to be there indeed. So this is episode 210 of Columbia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. I know you've enjoyed this show. We'll be back next week with further interesting people, interviewees, and talking more about Columbia. I'm considering putting on a Christmas-themed show in a couple of weeks. I know that I've got some guy out there in Quimbaya where they have very traditional Christmas celebrations near to Armenia, and he's very keen on sharing that with you. Before then, I think there's somewhere else who wants to sing some Bollywood here. So, yes, you heard it right, Bollywood in Bogota. So, that's Columbia Calling for today. play this episode 210. Thank you again for listening. I'm Richard McCall. Bye-bye.